All right, let's start right now. We're looking at kingdom timing. Know the time you win, don't know the time you lose. I mean, how much simpler than that can you talk about? If you know God's timing, you'll win the battle. If you don't know God's timing, you won't win the battle and you won't be victorious. The Lord, that's a God thing. You know, when the time was right, Jesus was sent forth. God sent forth his son at the right time, at the right moment. Now, we've been looking at this because it's important in your future. Once you enter into a next season, you don't go back. Don't live in yesteryear. For instance, when spring comes here, it's been more like summer in recent days, but when spring officially gets here, we're not going to go back into the wintertime. And all in so many places, it's so cold and snowy and nasty. When April flowers break out, is you're not going to go back to having the trucks with the ice and the snow. No. You never go back into the season you just completed. But there's a lot of Christians that want to live there. Want to live there. There's seasons of life. Chuck Swindoll wrote a great devotional years ago. I read it. I'm looking at it. It's on my shelf. It's called Seasons of Life. And it's a wonderful devotion. Wonderful devotion. I read it years ago. I don't even know how many years ago I read that book. But it's sitting there. And as I was thinking about this, I looked up and right in directly in front of me, between the computer systems and the broadcasters, there's the book against the shelf. And I said, there it is, Seasons of Life. God just reminded me of that. You don't go backwards. All right? Now, we talked about the drawing the big circle. If you're with us, very quickly get a piece of paper. Don't get a postage stamp. Don't get a fix-it note. Nice size piece of paper, 8.5 by 11. In the middle, right? You got the middle. At the very top, put Father God. Underneath, put God's throne. Put that in a rectangle. Underneath that, the heavenly realm. To the left of Father, put Jesus Christ. Under that, you put Ephesians 2:6. Then draw three circles, one larger, one smaller, and then the smallest. We got that. On the largest one, write the word body. Next is the large one, write the word soul, will, and emotions. The smaller one, put Holy Spirit, human spirit. And draw a line between Jesus Christ. You'll make it so you can see the other information all the way down, because you can put more information on this. Believe me, it's coming. And put it down where it says human spirit. Now, take on that small circle, if it was a cookie, if you took a bite out of the cookie, where the bite was taken out, write the words mind and put that into the soul, and then heart, and then conscience. Then at the bottom, all by itself on the right, put the word the world. Okay, now. All right. Now, the whole person. We're going to use this illustration. You don't have to keep drawing and drawing. The whole person. Body, soul, and spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. Man is a spirit. Spirit of man is a candle unto the Lord. Has a soul, lives in a body. All right? Now, in the smallest circle, spirit, write these three words: intuition, communion, and testimony. Intuition, communion, and testimony. Now, somebody says, now, what is the soul? The soul is body, okay? That we know what that is. Soul is mind, will, and emotions. I get mad at you because you didn't do the right thing? That's soul. I want to go to the store this afternoon and buy some bread. That's will. You know, mind, will, and emotion. I'm thinking about that book I read years ago, Seasons of Life. Mind, will, and emotions. That's your soul. Remember now, on conversion, your spirit is changed. Your mind, will, and emotions are not. That's why Christians say and do and act out not Christ-like. It's not because of their spirit. Old man, new man, Paul talks about that. It's because of the soul problem. Not as soul as mind, will, and emotions, desire, choice, perception, and thought. Mind, will, and emotions. My desire, I want a cupcake. I desire to go to the chicken place and eat some fried chicken. That's desire. That's where the lust and the carnality and the habits, and Jamie talked about the addictions come from. It comes out of the soul. The soul generates addictions. I want to. I desire. Now, that's not all bad all the time. Don't make it all bad, because there's some desires are good. Some desires are good. Absolutely. I have a desire to sing unto the Lord. That's soul talking. There's even a great song called That's My Desire. Fantastic. Choice is a soul activity. Choice. Mind, will, emotions, desire, choice. Perception. How you look at things, how you view things is perception. I see that. I perceive that. Remember the lady who was a prophetess? Some people call her a bad woman. They need some more deep instruction in the Word of God. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, remember her? Everybody thought she was a bad woman, but no, they don't really understand the depth of that. All right? Now, she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. She told that to Jesus. I perceive you are a prophet. Know where that came from? Her soul. That was a soul statement. Soul statement. I perceive you are a prophet. That comes from soul. Soul is mind, will, emotions, desire, choice, perception, and also thought. Your thought. And this is where people get in trouble right here, is because they confuse the soul and the spirit. They don't know the difference. They confuse the soul and the spirit. Now, there's a lot of things that happen or we perceive that is soulish. We make a lot of soulish decisions. We make a lot of soulish decisions. We make decisions based on our soul, not our spirit. But we don't know the difference. Christians have a hard time separating spirit from soul. Soul from spirit. They shouldn't have, but they do. Because they've never been taught the difference. And what happens is that they make a choice and they think it's God. They think it's God, and it's soulish. They literally think it's God. Okay, God's speaking to me. All right, fine. Let me do this. Let me do that. Are you sure? Oh, yeah. And they make a soulish choice. A lot of Christians operate in the soulish realm and not the spiritual realm. A lot of Christians operate like that. It's soulish. Now, the thought process is a soulish thing. It's a soulish thing. And that's not bad. I mean, having, you know, thinking about this or going out and do that or going out and do this, that's not wrong. Let me think this over. Do I want to wear a black suit today or I want to wear a gray suit today? That's a thought process. Margaret will say to me, what color shirt you want to wear today? You know, what color shirt? You want a pullover or do you want a dress shirt? Let me think. Today it's kind of warm outside. I'll wear a pullover shirt. Got a pullover shirt on instead of a dress shirt with long sleeves. See the difference? Understand that soul, mind, will, emotions, desire, choice, perception, and thought. Understand that. Now, I want you to understand this too. All right? Vexation of the spirit. Now, I want to show you how that works. All right? We won't get into a lot of detail today, but we'll bring some detail tomorrow. Vexation of your spirit. The enemy not only wants to occupy your soul, he wants to vex your spirit. That's communion, intuition, and testimony. Didn't the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, say, all is vanity and vexation of spirit? Didn't he say that? All is vanity and vexation of spirit. The enemy wants to occupy your soul. That's where the problem is, child of God. It's that occupation, the thoughts. That's why it says, bring into captivity every thought. Imagination goes against the knowledge of God. You bring that in, you reach out and grab it. Think of a bird, okay? Think of a bird flying and you're away from you and you grab hold of it and bring it back to yourself. That imaginations, that's all in the soul. The imagination is sitting right there. The imagination. That's why it says bring into captivity all the imaginations and thoughts that what? Go against the knowledge of Christ. You bring it into yourself. You don't say, okay, God, the bird just left here. Flying away. You get it, Jesus, and bring it back to me. No, it don't happen that way. Don't happen that way. See, that was the problem back in the Jesus' day. That's why they made error. For you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. You're not there yet. You have imaginations that are just, it's like sometimes your imagination goes in a direction you don't really want it to go. You think of things you don't really want to think about. You say things you really don't want to say. You do things you really don't want to do. That's a soul area. The enemy does not want, you know, to just tap you on the shoulder. He wants to occupy your soul. But here's what he really wants. He wants to vex your spirit. He wants to always vex you. Always have vexation of spirit. And that's his gold. That's his gold. That's his gold. He wants to always, you know, always, oh, you know, always, always, always. I'm so vexed, you know. Wow, I'm so vexed. You ever hear somebody say, I'm vexed at you? Hear somebody say that? I'm vexed at you. You heard somebody say that before? Sure. I mean, you've heard that. You ever hear somebody say, you know, I'm really vexed at you. I'm, you know, what does that mean? Are they angry? Are they mad? I mean, what are they talking about here? I mean, God would even say that. Didn't God say that a few times about vexed? Sure did. It's that, you know, wow. You know, that vexation. And see, and that's important because we look at this. Sometimes it's very easy to get vexed. It's very easy. I'm vexed at you. Now, we don't say it like that. I mean, when's the last time you heard somebody say, I'm vexed at you? Like 1,000 years ago or something? Now, vexation biblically means to oppress, suppress, treat violently, maltreat, and do wrong. That's vexation. It's oppress, suppress, treat violently, maltreat, and do wrong. That's biblical definition of vexation. Attack violently. I am so vexed at you, I'm going to hit you in the face. See, that has context. I'm so vexed at you. You ever hear parents say that to their kids? I am so vexed at you. Get in that chair. Get in that chair. You know, I'm gonna, no supper for you. That's suppress. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to do that in your spirit. He wants to occupy your soul, but he wants to do it in your spirit and your communication and your communion with God and intuition and testimony. That's what the enemy wants to do. And he does a continual job on us because we don't know the difference between soul and spirit. We don't have any idea and how they intermingle. More on that tomorrow.